The Texaco Star Theater. The more than 45,000 Texaco dealers from coast to coast welcome you to an hour of mirth and melody. With our star comedians, Fred Allen, Kenny Baker and Portland Hoffa, the Texaco Roundtable, Win Murray and Al Goodman's orchestra. It's Texaco time. This time of the year, ladies and gentlemen, the sun shines, the birds sing, the flowers bloom, the sap is running from the trees. Uh-huh. And speaking of sap, here it is, Fred Allen in person.
Thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. And say, James, what is that sap innuendo? You know, one of these evenings, you'll overdo it with one of your witty introductions.
Well, gee, Fred, once in a while a fella has to let himself go.
Well, one of these nights, you let yourself go, and I'll let you go, too, to keep yourself company. You know, I once had another announcer, Mr. Wallington, who let himself go during an introduction. And do you know what happened to him?
What?
He is now announcing in the Owl Drugstore on 44th Street. If you should happen to go into that particular drugstore and order ham and eggs, the gentleman who takes your order will turn toward the kitchen and shout, "Ham and eggs!" And then from the kitchen, a voice will reply, "Ham and eggs!" And then from somewhere in back, another voice will echo, "Ham and eggs!" And then from way back in the dark, dingy confines of this Owl drugstore, a lone voice will cry out, "Coming up!" That is the announcer who once worked for me. And once, only once, mind you, let himself go during an introduction. Now, what do you say?
Well, if that guy's getting 3 square meals a day, he's better off than I am.
Oh, now, Jimmy, don't tell me that you are undernourished. With that rotunda under your vest there. What are you eating, helium lately? Your stomach looks like either end of the Staten Island Ferry. The way you had a little seaweed, I wouldn't know the difference. I'll bet you, if you open that coat, James Wallington, we will probably hear a watermelon calling its mate.
Oh, yeah?
And with this scintillating rejoinder, Mr. Wallington, we turn to the latest news of the week. The Texaco News presents its highlight from the world of news. New York City, New York. Arrival of spring is officially confirmed as Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Circus opens at Madison Square Garden for a 4-week engagement. Tonight, Texaco News visits the circus and brings you a preview of the greatest show on Earth's outstanding features. At the entrance of the circus, we find, of course, the traditional hoarse-voiced announcer.
Hurry, hurry, hurry! The big show's about to start on the inside. Hurry, hurry!
Outside, we also find the perennial little man and his wife from out of town.
What's that sign say, Myrna?
Says, circus. Must be some kind of hijinks.
Think we ought to go in, Myrna?
You bet. If it's half as good as it smells, it's a great show.
We follow them in and stop for a word with the circus publicity man, Sam Levine. Well, how does the circus look this year, Sam?
You're asking me? I told him not to open it. Don't open it, John, I says. I ain't ready. So what does he do? I ain't ready, and he opens it.
Well, who is John?
John Ringling North. He owns the circus.
Oh, he's the one you were talking to.
That's right. Don't open it, John, I says. I ain't ready. So what does he do? I ain't ready, and he opens it.
Well, what did Mr. North say?
Sammy says, all right, you're my press agent. There's nothing I wouldn't do for you that I wouldn't do if it didn't have to be done. But when you ask me to open it, Sam, I gotta say to you, Sam, no, in the affirmative.
Well, he must have had a reason.
All right, so he had a little trouble. With a circus, you gotta expect trouble.
What trouble?
The dog-faced boy suddenly gets distemper.
Really?
The sword swallower gets indigestion. He's hiccuping knives and forks.
Knives, no spoons, huh?
The fire eater overdone it. One of his tonsils is a clinker.
Well, naturally...
I know John's upset with the elephant losing 400 pounds. The elephant's skin and bones.
What happened to the elephant?
Malnutrition.
Malnutrition.
The elephant's feeder was nearsighted. For 2 months, he kept leaving the elephant's hay at the wrong end. The elephant was sitting pretty, but he wasn't getting no nourishment.
Mr. North sure had plenty of trouble.
But that's got nothing to do with me. All right, so I'm only the circus press agent. But I pleaded with him. Don't open it, John, I says. I ain't ready. So what does he do? I ain't ready, and he opens
well.
It.
Well, tell me, why weren't you ready?
I didn't have no adjective.
No adjective? Or
what makes a circus? Is it the animals, the clowns, the bareback riders? No. Is it the press agent? Of course. But what makes a press agent? An adjective.
One adjective?
One adjective. Last year, for instance, the circus was resplendent.
Resplendent.
The year before, mammoth.
And this year?
This year, I ain't ready.
Well, why not?
This year, it's all new. The circus is streamlined. How can I find an adjective that'll... Hey, wait a minute. Wait a minute, I got it.
A streamlined adjective? What is it?
Stream-lousal. The circus this year is stream-lousal. Let's go, John. I'm ready.
And as Sam Levine, the press agent, scurries off to see John, we step inside to see the big show. We elbow our way through the milling crowds and stop to look at the wild animals. Here on the left, we see the hyena. Well, where do you, One hyena got in the cage a little late there. Where do you keep the hyenas during the winter, trainer?
We rent them to Bob Hope to mix in with his studio audience.
Across from the hyenas is the elephant nook. One of the elephants, we see, is just about to trumpet. This elephant was formerly with Louis Armstrong. As we draw closer, we see a little man standing near the elephants. We stop to chat with him. Are you an elephant lover, brother?
No, I was just trying something out.
Oh, an experiment?
Yeah. You've heard that old saying, an elephant never forgets.
Yes?
Well, I thought I would put an elephant to the test.
And did you?
Yeah. Last year, when the circus opened, I gave that third elephant there a piece of candy. An O. Henry bar.
An O. Henry bar. Yeah. And this year?
I came back to see if the elephant remembered me.
And did he?
The elephant not only remembered me, he even remembered that I had given him the O. Henry bar.
Well, how do you know?
He just gave me this old cellophane wrapper to throw away for him.
He remembered you, all right. We turn from the elephant's wastebasket to see the freaks. On the first platform, we find the female monstrosity, Stout Sadie. We stop to pass the time of day. Hello, Stout Sadie.
Will you take this thing out of my mouth?
Oh, this little piece of cardboard?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's better.
Well, what is this cardboard?
It's a bookmark. I got 18 double chins.
Oh.
I have to keep a bookmark in my mouth.
Why?
Well, when I want to talk, I reach up till I feel a bookmark. I know which wrinkle to open.
I see what you mean. Tell me, how much do you weigh, Sadie?
I can't even find out.
Why not?
Every time I get on one of them penny weighing machines, the same card comes out.
What does the card say?
It says, now put the wagon on.
Scout Sadie, we stop at Gargantua's cage. A man stands gazing in at the world's largest gorilla. The man seems to be talking to himself. We listen.
Why? Why? Why?
Is something troubling you, sir?
I just been studying Gargantua.
Yeah?
Why, I keep asking myself. Why?
Why what?
Well, here's Gargantua, a monkey, leading the life of a furry Riley.
Yeah?
He's got a wife, a home, all he can eat for nothing, no work, no taxes to pay, nothing to worry about.
That's right.
Why? Why?
Well, why what?
Darwin said man descended from the monkey, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
So that's what I can't understand. Why? Why?
I often wonder. Well, and while we are trying to figure this out, an argument attracts our attention. Excited voices seem to be coming from the next booth.
Who will take it?
Rushing over, we find the Siamese twins in heated discussion.
Doom cop.
Now, just a minute, boys. What's the trouble?
We are the Siamese twins, Mo and Joe. I am Mo and I am Joe.
Well, what's the trouble?
Joe is having a headache. One minute, please. Who's doing the talking, Mo or Joe? All right, Joe is doing the talking.
Just a minute. Just a minute, boys.
First, who is doing the talking, Mo or Joe?
You can both talk together, can't you?
Good. Wir will zusammen sprechen.
Fine. Now, what's wrong?
Joe is having a sore throat and a headache.
A sore throat and a headache, yeah?
Joe is asking Mo to take an aspirin to cure Joe's headache.
Yeah?
Mo is refusing to take the aspirin to cure Joe.
Well, if Joe has the headache, why doesn't Joe take the aspirin himself?
Joe is already eating a Zymotrochi to cure his sore throat. Joe's mouth is full.
Well, somebody ought to take it.
Yeah, Mo will take it.
And Joe will take it.
Wait, just a minute, fellas. You boys shouldn't fight.
Siamese twins cannot stop having arguments.
Why not?
Siamese twins to be Siamese twins.
Yes?
Something has got to come between them.
And so we leave the Siamese twins without seeing the connection. And as night falls on 8th Avenue, and the lazy moon rises slowly over Sloppy Joe's, tired but happy, we say aloha to the razorbacks and funny clowns and board our BMT sunken gondola that glides us safely back to Jackson Heights in the good old USA. The end. And now, ladies and gentlemen, thanks to Kenny Baker, we are able to shake off the effects of our circus jaunt. For his first number this evening, Kenny sings Amapola.
A boy found a dream upon a distant shore. A girl with a way of whispering, si, senor. Each night, while guitars would softly play, the tune seemed to dance round the words that he'd say. Amapola, my pretty little poppy, you're like that lovely flower, so sweet and heavenly. Since I found you, my heart is wrapped around you, and loving you it seems to beat a rhapsody. Amapola, the pretty little poppy, must copy its endearing tone. time from you.
Hello, Larry Elliott, of all people. Congratulations, Larry, my boy.
Congratulations? For what?
Why, on looking like your old self, Larry. Gosh, you know, you're about the only one of this crowd I can even recognize tonight.
Hmm?
Everybody's slicked up like $6 worth of wet eels. Well, look at Jimmy over there. He's had his mustache ma-fact again. Al Goodman's got shoes on tonight. Kenny Baker's wearing a piece of omelet for a necktie. And if that isn't a strip torn out of an old rainbow Portland is wearing for a dress, what's got into everybody tonight?
Why, it's spring, Fred.
Spring is responsible for this sartorial metamorphosis?
Yes, spring makes everyone think of putting his best foot forward. Eager, too, for any refreshing change. And may I remind you that your Texaco dealer also holds out the promise of a refreshing change, a different driving thrill for the days ahead. A change to Sky Chief, his premium gasoline, will renew your feeling of pride and pleasure in your car's performance. For with Sky Chief in the tank, your car springs into life at the touch of the starter, accelerates, answers your call for power quietly, smoothly. Its flexible power keeps your car gliding in traffic, flying the highways, soaring over the hills. Yes, driving is fun with Sky Chief. It's your Texaco dealer's different premium gasoline for those who want the best.
Thy sweet voice, played by Al Goodman and his Texaco valve grinders. And now, hello, Portland.
Hello, Mr. Allen.
Well.
Hello.
What's on your mind, if you will forgive the overstatement?
Oh, I just stopped in to say goodbye.
Well, goodbye.
I'm not going. You are.
I am?
Yes. Aren't you leaving our show?
Portland, you haven't been reading the sponsor's mind, have you?
You're going on the Campbell Soup program.
Oh, that. Well, yes, I'm going to be in a little play next Friday night. It's called My Client Curly.
Well, it's been fun working with you, Mr. Allen.
Well, I'm not going.
And just so you'll remember Mom and me, here is a basket of cheese sandwiches we made for you to take along.
Oh, boy. Little mementos?
Two of them are mementos. The rest are camembert.
Uh-huh. They could have all been camembert. It would have been just as cheesy. But just a minute. What is all this this sandwich, this three-decker sentiment here? This bon voyage business? Can't I even go on another program one night?
Mr. Allen.
Yes, Maestro?
I, Goodman, to you, Allen, wish to say one word of farewell.
And the word is?
Farewell.
An ad lib, hey? But, Maestro...
In my grief, words are failing, Goodman. There's only one way a broken-hearted musician can say goodbye. Boys!
Music. Who do you think you are? The riffraff's Nelson Eddy? What is this, then? What is this, Maestro? Portland brings cheese and you come up with corn. Now, after all, I'm not joining the Foreign Legion.
You mean you're coming back?
Well, of course I am.
Coming back, he says, and I am paying $2 for the arrangement of Auld Lang Syne.
That's why you should be crying right there. So what?
So next Wednesday you are coming back. It's another $2 for Hail, Hail, the gang's all here.
Once and for all, I am... So tell me, just one thing. Who spread this rumor that I was going for good?
Kenny Baker said that...
Kenny again. That kid looks like Skippy, but he's got the soul of Lucretia Borgia. Where is that dimpled rat?
I don't know.
Say, Jimmy Wallington.
Yes, Fred.
Where's Kenny?
Oh, is it time for Kenny's entrance? I'll get going.
Kenny's entrance? What is this?
Quiet, please. And now, ladies and gentlemen, I bring you that worthy successor to Fred Allen, the new comedy star of the Texaco Star Theater, Kenny a Laugh-A-Minute Baker in person.
Thank you. And good evening, ladies and gentlemen. A funny thing happened on the way to the theater tonight.
Kenny...
Are you still around?
Am I still around? Now listen, you little fifth columnist.
Now don't get excited, F.A.
Well, who's excited? I am doing a guest shot Friday night. I'm not leaving this program. How can I leave? Who get the laughs?
Oh, we'll get along some way.
Oh, no, Kenny. I'm not a man who leaves his friends in the lurch.
But think of yourself, F.A. This dramatic part may be the start of a new career. The legitimate theater. Grease paint. Cain and Spats. I'm glad for you, old pal. This is from the heart.
The heart. You have a heart you can put in a pistachio shell, and it will rattle around when it gets... You have more ulterior motives, Kenny Baker, than a man bringing an apple to the draft boy.
Oh, you've got me wrong, F.A.
Oh, yeah? You're trying to just get me... Trying to get me off the program to make room for Kenny, a Laugh-A-Minute Baker.
Oh, honest, F.A., I just heard about the emergency and I thought I'd jump into your breach.
Now, Lee... You leave my breeches out of it. You know... What is a breach? One with one leg? What... You know very well I can't leave this show. I have a contract.
I had my lawyer look at it. You can break clause 7.
I just heard about the emergency. Clause 7 won't help, Kenny. I'll be back here next Wednesday night, and that's final.
Gosh, Mr. Allen, I sure am glad you're not going.
Likewise, Goodman. Going or coming, Goodman is looking forward to it.
Yes, just as well, F.A. You'd probably be sticking your neck out going in for drama. You aren't built to handle a heavy role.
Well, make up your mind now. We have a choice with the dollar dinner. You want to have another go at it?
Well, it's just as well, F.A. You'd probably be sticking your neck out going in for drama. You aren't built to handle a heavy role.
I saw him eat a bagel once.
Bagel is a delicatessen roll, Portland. Kenny is referring to the theater. I mean, when he gets to it, he's referring to the theater.
Delicatessen or theater, a ham's a ham.
It may interest you to know, young man, that I am an old dramatic actor. I don't want to boast, but some years ago, I was known as the Orson Welles of East Orange, New Jersey.
Why, I didn't know that
you... It might interest you further to know that when the news got around that I was doing a serious play on the Campbell Show, Saroyan made me an offer, came out of a basement and made me an offer, and a spontaneous organization sprang up overnight.
What kind of an organization?
You haven't seen the evening papers. You haven't heard of the CCTDFAFTLT.
What's that?
Why, it's obvious. The Citizens Committee to Draft Fred Allen for the Legitimate Theater. What's that, he says? Why, this is bigger than the John Doe Club already.
Well, who's behind this movement, Mr. Allen?
Well, I don't know who the gentleman is. They say he's a theater lover of some kidney in the community. His name is Preebles.
Mr. Preebles?
Yes, Mr. Preebles. Probably a very important man. Come in.
Mr. Allen?
Yes?
I'm Mrs. Horlick, party worker for the CCTDFAFTLT.
Mrs. Horlick?
Yes.
Well, we were just talking about the wonderful work you're doing, Mrs. Horlick.
Mr. Allen, on behalf of our president, Mr. Preebles,
yes,
and our 30,000 theater lovers, I implore you to give up this mockery known as radio and come back and save the legitimate theater. Oh,
madam, this is indeed an honor, but...
No buts. Mr. Preebles insists.
Well, madam, I must have time.
Mr. Preebles says, act now.
But, madam, I...
In the words of Mr. Preebles, the theater needs Allen.
Well, all right. If the theater needs me, I'll give up radio. You can tell Mr. Preebles.
Congratulations, F.A.
Why, Mr. Preebles, what are you doing here?
Preebles, so you're Preebles. Mr. Preebles, you wait until I introduce this next number, KB. Ladies and gentlemen, Miss Wynne Murray sings for us Play, Play, Tina. And now, Mr. Preebles, Baker, you and I will adjourn to the woodshed.
Oh, gee, F.A., it was only in...
Play, play, Tina, play your ocarina, play your little tune about a girl and boy beneath the gypsy moon. Play, play, Tina, play your ocarina, play your happy song about a boy and girl whose love was oh so strong. Play it sweet, play it low, let the whole world know how he wooed the gypsy stunner, how he wooed her till he won her, and they wed. Play, play, Tina, let your ocarina tell how he and she then raised a family. Oh, would were you and me instead of they. Oh, play, Tina, play, Tina, play. Thank you. how he and she then raised a family. Oh, which were you and me instead of they? Oh, play, Tina, play, Tina, play.
Ladies and gentlemen, a gentleman with the most unusual hobby, our special guest, Mr. Seymour Things. What is your hobby, Seymour?
Movie bonus.
Movie bonus.
Yeah, I go to 9 pictures a day looking for mistakes.
Oh, you mean bonus like casting Jack Benny in a picture, bonus of that sort?
Little things.
Oh.
Take today. First, I seen a Western. The villain's having a gunfight.
Uh-huh.
All he's got is one Colt six-shooter, but he shoots 7 times.
Well, he probably had a Colt in his head. You see, that would enable him.
And you see, the second feature is Dorothy L'Amour as a South Seas native.
Yeah.
Only her sarong has got a zipper on. A zipper in the South Seas. Ha ha,
I'm laughing. Well, of course, you
then know. The third feature comes on. A guy's a castaway on a raft. All at once, he says, "We're saved! There's a steamer 30 miles away." Now, how could any guy see a steamer 30 miles away below the horizon? I ask you.
Well, don't ask me, Seymour. Ask our maritime expert, Commodore James Wallington. Can you explain it, Jimmy?
Why, of course, Fred. A ship may be completely hidden from sight below the horizon, but the smoke from her funnel will be a dead giveaway, visible for miles. And smoke from an automobile exhaust can be a dead giveaway, too. A sign of excessive wear in the engine, with expensive repairs the only solution. Smoke means trouble. So don't let your car become a smoker. Keep that in mind when you heed the advice of the maker of your car and change the oil in your crankcase this spring. Change to insulated Havilland and safeguard your engine from excessive wear, of which smoke is a warning. Havilland is insulated to withstand today's higher engine temperatures that can break down ordinary oils. It's also distilled to remove carbon-forming impurities, another factor in engine wear. So act now. Get rid of that old winter oil that might lead to smoke and trouble. Change to insulated Havilland at your Texaco dealer. The Texaco Star Theater continues immediately after a short pause for your station identification. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
WABC, New York, 880 on your dial.
Wait a minute, I have to turn over the page here. That was a demi-tasse arrangement of You Should Be Set to Music from the Broadway review, Crazy with the Heat. And now the Texaco Roundtable, ladies and gentlemen. This is the only unrehearsed discussion group in radio that concentrates on trivia, no matter too small for our consideration. If we can see it, we'll discuss it. Portland opens the meeting simply by calling the roll, if you will, Portland.
Mr. George Nagel from Jamaica, Long Island.
Well, good evening, Mr. Nagel.
How are you, Mr. Allen?
Are you in business over there in Jamaica?
Well, we are in the business of putting a racetrack in the commission. We're going to open Saturday.
Oh, you're at the racetrack, are you?
Yes, sir.
May I ask your official capacity?
Well, superintendent.
Oh, a superintendent at the racetrack,
just
huh?
Just one of them.
Well, how long have you been there?
Oh, about 12 years.
12 years, really? If Bing Crosby lasts that long, he may live long enough to have one of his horses win if he stays.
That's quite possible.
But I think a Hope's program will do Crosby's horses more harm than Crosby will do. They'll wear them out before he does. Well, tell me, how many people will you be able to accommodate at the track, with the remodeled track, when you open
it? Well, we're going to be able to seat 16,000.
16,000?
And we'll pretty safely accommodate close to
50,000 people at a racetrack.
And we'd park over 15,000 cars.
Uh-huh. Well, of course, when one's born every minute, you've got to have plenty of room. I mean,
oh, yes. And plenty of room for him to move around.
But, tell me, how many pari mutuel windows do you have there?
Well, we've got 460.
460, and how many horses?
Well, there's about 400 horses there now, and more coming in every day.
Oh, that's one to each window. I mean, you can get... you can...
get your own horse right to the window.
Well, I don't... Can you... Have you any idea what fascinates so many people? What is it about horse racing that causes millions of people around the country to play every day?
Oh, just a desire to win, I suppose, get something.
Well, I know, but away from the track, what kick do you get out of it? You see people all over the country never see a horse, but they play races every day.
Well, probably get a kick of dodging the cops and make a bet.
Oh, just the running? Well, I never saw the... I've never been able to see the advantage in the betting on horses. After all, a fella bets $2 on a horse, the race starts, the horse gets the exercise, the jockey gets the ride, the guy at the mutual window gets the $2, and what does the man get? I mean, I...
He gets nervous prostration.
A heart attack. Well, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Nagel. And now, Portland.
Miss Joy Lattman of New York City.
Good evening, Miss Lattman.
Good evening, Mr. Allen.
May I ask what you're doing here in New York? Do you live here?
I'm studying, yes. I'm studying physical anthropology up at Columbia.
Oh, physical anthropology?
That's right.
Well, I only went to high school, Miss Lattman. Could you clarify that a little? Physical anthropology.
Well, the simplest definition of anthropology is that it's the study of man. And physical anthropology deals with the physical differences in man.
Oh, I see. And that's what you're studying? Why, you want to be a teacher in later life?
No, I'd rather work in a museum. You see, we work with living people, and we also work with skeletons and fragments.
Oh, in museums?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
we work out in the field. We go out and dig up skeletons and see where they belong.
Well, gee, I should think a young, good-looking girl such
you.
As... Huh? No, my eyes are good, and I say that in full acknowledgement of what's going on. I should think a young girl such as you are, a pretty girl, would be more interested in studying... one of the present-day rug cutters, rather than one of the old, digging up an old prehistoric smoothie to study. Because, after all, a girl doesn't have to know anything about anthropology to dig up a guy to go out with. Now, you know.
Well, I do that the rest of the time.
All right, thank you, Miss Lattman.
And now, Mr. Harry Nicholson of Jackson Heights, Long Island.
Well, good evening, Mr.
Allen. Good evening,
Nicholson. What do you do over in Jackson Heights, may I ask?
Yes, sir.
You in business over there?
Yes, sir. Run a cigar and stationery store.
Oh, you run a cigar and stationery
store
in Jackson Heights, huh? Whereabouts?
Well, 90th and the Boulevard.
90th and the
Northern Boulevard.
Well, how is business over there?
Oh, very fine.
Business is
good,
huh?
Yes, always good.
Well,
with
I'm
me.
Good with you, personally. Is that a state of mind, or have you got the books to prove it? I mean,
I got the books to prove it.
Well, I'm glad to hear that,
sir.
Mr. Nicholson, because I know a man who runs a similar store over at Forest Hills, a stationery and cigar store, a little store like that. And business is so bad over there with him, he is selling the children candy on the Morris plan. I mean, little kids. For lollipops.
Well, not with me.
Not with
me. No. I'm well known around the neighborhood.
You are?
Yes, sir.
You're well known around the neighborhood? You have a pinball machine in the place, do
no,
you?
No, sir. Never did. No, not yeah. that kind.
No pinball.
No.
Huh?
No.
Do you? do you think that the pinball machines are bad for children to have access to them? Do you?
Yes, it is bad.
The flashing of the lights bad
yes,
for their
it's
eyes.
Bad.
That brings us to our discussion, Mr. Nicholson,
yes,
if you'll excuse me.
Yes.
With Easter in the offing and new millinery styles on display,
yes.
The topic of the moment, naturally, I'm talking to everybody, Mr. Nicholson,
yes.
which includes you, naturally.
Exactly.
With the Easter in the offing and the new millinery styles
yes.
on display, the topic of the moment, naturally, is women's hats. This is nothing personal, Mr. Nicholson. I'm just going to mention a question here, which I'll ask you about a little later on. Originally, women's chapeaux were designed to act as sort of a protection from the elements. But down through the ages, milliners have run amok, and today we find women wearing anything from cocktail coasters to coffee rings for hats. Now wait, Mr. Nicholson. Now we must all hold in just a little minute if we can. Now, our question tonight
Our question tonight is, yes. Do you think... You are the first yes man I've ever had. Our question... we're not going to get to the question. That's the bit. Our question tonight is, yes. Do you think women should wear the grotesque creations the millinery trend encourages today, or do you think that women should demand hats that are less spectacular and more practical? Now, Mr. Nagel, may I ask you briefly for your opinion? What do you think about women's hats?
Well,
you think they're going too far with them, do you?
I think they've gone far enough.
You think they've gone far enough? Do you think the horses over at Jamaica would refuse to wear some of the hats you see around?
Yes.
You think the horses would? Do you? In other words, do you think that women are going a little too far with their millinery, huh?
I do.
Well, how about you, Miss Latman? You haven't any hat on, so...
No. As a practical physical anthropologist, I'd say that a woman should wear the hat that helps her get her man and keep him.
Oh. You have an ulterior motive, and... Your millinery, you buy your millinery for a specific purpose,
yes.
I see. So that if your boyfriend's eyesight was bad, I mean, any kind of a hat would do as long as he looked up and figured something was there under the hat. Well, what do you think about women's millinery, Mr. Nicholson?
Well, I agree with them.
You agree? Oh, well, we're not... Well, that about washes up the whole thing, I guess. It's obvious that we have wasted our time tonight. Women will go right on wearing hats that look like anything from a frustrated pen wiper to a midget's corsage. Mr. N. Fortunately, most women show better taste in selecting their husbands than their millinery. If they didn't, a lot of wives would be walking around with some funny-looking guys. On this hilarious note, the meeting closes, and thank you all, and you, Mr. N. That seems to bring us to Kenny Baker Preble's again. And Mr. Preble's song is The Things I Love.
The glow of sunset in the summer skies, the golden sparkle of the fireflies, the gleam of love light in your lovely eyes. These are the things I love. A silver moonbeam peeping through the trees, a bed of tulips nodding in the breeze, the look you give in answer to my pleas. These are the things I love. I thought that life was just a winter thing. My heart was cold, and then you came to me, and like a breath of spring, you turned the silver thread to gold. A robin's serenade when day is through, the babbling brook beside our rendezvous, your sweet voice whispering, darling, I love you. These are the things I love. They say all who love are blind, but that is not the case with me. For more and more each day I find my love for you has made me see. The glow of sunset in the summer skies, the golden sparkle of the fireflies, the gleam of love light in your lovely eyes. These are the things I love. A robin's serenade when day is through, a babbling brook beside our rendezvous, your sweet voice whispering, darling, I love you. These are the things, these are the things I love.
Thank you, Mr. Prevost.
Pardon me, Fred. Here's a telegram just came in for you.
For me? Well, let's see what this telegram says, Jimmy. Oh, shoot.
Bad news, Fred?
Oh, very bad news, Jimmy. This is from a friend of mine up in Maine who runs a poultry farm. He says my million-dollar idea has come a cropper.
What million-dollar idea?
Well, I told this fella up there to get his hens in the pink of condition, sing them sad songs to make them blue, then show them an ostrich egg so they'd be green with envy.
What for?
Well, so they'd lay colored eggs for Easter, of course. But listen to this telegram, Jay. Your idea is a dud. 2 out of 3 eggs are white, and the other one came out a dingy plaid.
Say, that is bad news, Fred.
Yes, it is.
You know, duds are always bad news. Just as gasoline duds are bad news to your engine, bad news to your pocketbook. That's why there's no place in Texaco Fire Chief for sluggish, slow-action duds that fail to vaporize, fail to take the spark quickly. They're out, removed by special steps in Texaco refining. Yes, Fire Chief gasoline is all power, active power. It vaporizes instantly, flashes your engine into action, supplies you with smooth acceleration and long mileage. So next time, try a Texaco dealer and famous Fire Chief gasoline. Remember, at regular gasoline prices, you're getting all action, not a dud in a tank full.
And now the Texaco Workshop players. Tonight, instead of presenting their usual skit, they take you behind the scenes in radio. As you folks doze beside your radios at home, many of you, no doubt, envy the radio comedian. What a life, you say. Nothing to do but clip old jokes out of magazines. No worries. Nothing but laughter and applause. That's what you think. Little do you know what the radio comedian goes through each week. His trials, his tribulations. Well, tonight we show you the seamy side of the picture. It's called Shortcut to a Nervous Breakdown, or the radio comedian makes it the hard way. Our case history tonight concerns the heartaches of an average radio comedian. Oh, let us call him Kenny Dank.
Any resemblance between the character known as Kenny Dank and any other Kenny Dank living around the radio is purely coincidental.
Our average comedian is employed by an average advertising agency. Let's call the agency Betten, Bitten, Ditto, and Button.
Any resemblance between the firm of Betten, Bitten, Ditto, and Button and any existing firm named Betten, Bitten, Ditto, and Button is their tough luck.
And now our story starts. As the curtain rises...
Any resemblance between this curtain and any other
now
curtain...
Now, we get the idea. We get the idea, Mr. Barrymore.
Oh.
Any resemblance between that O and the curtain rises... On the office of Bolivar Balaam Button, president of the great advertising agency of Betten, Bitten, Button, etc. Bolivar Balaam Button is entering his executive sanctum. Ah, good morning, Miss Yuck.
Morning, B.B. Are you ready to check on our newspaper and magazine copy?
No, Miss Yuck. Today, I'm checking over all of our agency radio programs. Are these our radio surveys here?
Yes, sir. They sure add up to a lot of figures.
These radio popularity ratings are very important, Miss Yuck. These figures show whether our clients' programs are gaining or losing listeners. You see, I'll show this list here. Fake It or Believe It, up 1.2. One Man's Relatives, up 2.6. Carborundum Carnival, up the...
Something wrong?
Wrong? Our comedy program, the Kenny Dank Fun Fest, has gone down again. This is the second month in succession.
What's the rating?
Minus 2.2. If Kenny Dank sponsors Moriarty's Mutsus, find out that no one is listening to Dank's program, we lose the account. Now, when Dank comes in today to read this week's script to the office boy for reaction, tell him I want to see him.
Kenny Dank is outside now.
Well, send him in here.
Yes, sir. Mr. Dank, please.
Hello, BB, old sock.
Now, Dank, your program is slipping. This is the second month you have gone down on the popularity survey.
Aw, quit kidding, BB. I've been killing them.
Figures don't lie, Dank. Here's the Crosley report. Here's the Hooper that checks on the Crosley. Here's the Duper that checks on the Hooper and the Booper. Now, according to the Booper Hooper Duper,
You are down to minus 2.2.
Oh, that's nothing.
Minus 2 is less than nothing, Dang.
Well, I was on opposite two fireside chats this month.
Don't alibi, Dank. You can't blame him for everything. Now, you are slipping. When a comedian slips, the advertising agency has got to step in.
But the last time the agency stepped in, I went down 19 points.
No heresy, Dank. Your program has got to be revised. Miss Yuck?
Yes, sir.
The agency has got to hype up Dank's program. Sound the conference bell.
Yes, sir.
Conference! Come and get it!
Humble reporting! Jumbo reporting.
Well, where's Bumble?
The Bumble reporting, sir.
Well, what held you up, Bumble?
I was licking an envelope, sir. I stopped to seal it.
You know very well when you hear the conference gong, you are supposed to drop everything and report, Bumble. Yet you stopped to seal an envelope.
But I have a dry mouth, sir. It took me 2 hours to work up a drool. I didn't want to lose it.
Well, all right, all right. Write me a memo to that effect.
Yeah.
Now let's get down to business. Gentlemen, the Kenny Dank Fun Fest is slipping on all radio surveys. Dank needs a new program. Men, what we've got to have is an idea.
Check.
Men, we have got to change Dank's setup.
Check.
Men.
Check.
Check.
Accelerate, Bumble.
Sorrows.
You've got to speed it up. You're slowing up the conference.
Yes, sir.
Now you watch it. Come in at a quicker tempo, a 6-8 if you can arrange it. Now, men. Men, we have got to hatch an idea. Let's mow, men.
Say, I've got an idea. How about cutting out Dank Singer and putting in a quartet?
But my program has a quartet now.
Yes, the program.
Well, that finishes me. I'm only vice president in charge of suggesting we put in a quartet.
Hold everything. I just got a flash.
Lay it on the table, AJ.
How about cutting out the actors and putting in audience participation?
We've tried audience participation.
And how about cutting out the audience and putting in actor participation?
Well, you can't cut out studio audiences and render thousands of people homeless.
Say, how about not making it a quiz program?
How about not making it an Aldrich family?
How about just not making it?
No. No, men. Wait a minute. I've got it.
What is it, Chief?
The new Kenny Dank Fun Fest will be what radio is crying for. This is something revolutionary.
What's that, BB?
A 30-minute program.
Yeah.
You follow me, men?
Yeah.
With an orchestra.
Yeah.
A comedian.
Yeah.
And a guest star.
Wonderful!
Yeah, wonderful.
But that's exactly what my program is now, BB.
Great! That proves we're on the right track, Dank. Agency cooperation gets results every time. Well, the conference is over. Break it up, men.
So long, Chief. So long, Chief.
So long, Miss Yuck.
Oh! Why the idea?
Don't mind SB, Miss Yuck. He always relaxes for 20 seconds after a conference. Now, let me see. Where were we?
We were fixing up my radio program.
Oh, yes. Now, what is your show this week, Dank?
We're doing a burlesque of a moving picture.
A revolutionary idea on a comedy program. What picture is it?
The Sea Dog. Here's the script.
Uh-huh. Now, let me see. Oh, very funny. Very funny. Yes, but it isn't funny enough, Dank. The agency has got to hype it up. Now, how many writers write your program?
16.
Well, no wonder your program is slipping. Trying to turn out a half-hour program with only 16 writers.
But, B.B.!
Miss Yuck, buzz for our agency gag man.
Yes, sir.
Our agency joke writers will make your Sea Dog sketch a masterpiece. Come in.
Company! Arr! Arr! Company, halt! Second platoon, Company 2 of Agency Joke Writers reporting, sir.
Very well, Lieutenant Glee. Here's Dank's script. Have your men put in some gags, polish it up, kick it around, live with it, sleep on it, and have it back in 2 minutes.
Yes, sir. Company, present pencil! Fire, halt!
Gee, all those writers to fix up one little sketch?
Our men work fast, Dank. Come in.
Lieutenant Glee reporting, sir. Here's Dank's script. It's all gagged up.
Well, a little late, but nice work, Lieutenant.
Thank you, sir.
Gad, what an organization. We're the only advertising agency in the country with a bugle.
Is my script ready now, B.B.?
Just one more thing, Dank. We'll have to step next door and consult all department heads for deletions.
Yes, sir.
Department heads, attention. Kenny Dank here is going to read his comedy script. I want you to check on it as he goes along.
Yes, sir, B.B.
Now, go right ahead, Dank.
Well, the scene opens off the coast of Florida.
Just a minute.
Yes, sir?
Public relations can't pass any mention of Florida. California won't like it.
But Florida is out, Dank.
Okay. Now there's a tropical storm.
Cut out the storm. Weather Bureau won't permit unauthorized storms.
Storm is out, Dank.
But there's a shipwreck. The storm blows the boat.
Have the boat run into a rock.
All right. The boat crashes into a rock.
The rock is out. The music department must. There's a rock in the Rock of Ages.
The rock is out, Dank. Go ahead.
But I don't see
you
what...
You don't see. Let me see the rest of those jokes there, Dank.
Here.
Let me see now. The poker game joke here. Three vegetarians playing for small stakes. Small stakes offends the vegetarians. It's out.
But you're ruining
it's
my...
It's out, Dank. And these other jokes here. Out. Yep, this but, one out. Out. Well, now here, there you are, Dank. You make these cuts and your sea dog sketch is perfect.
But you've taken out all the jokes. How will it sound on the air?
How will it sound? Great. Listen.
The Kenny Dank program is on the air. Tonight, Kenny Dank and his Fun Fest present The Sea Dog.
Ahoy, the mizzen man.
Who's got a cigarette?
Ahoy, the mizzen man.
Who's got a match?
Ahoy, the mizzen mast.
The ship's sinking, Captain.
Then we're safe.
No, don't kill yourself.
Aye, aye, sir.
Captain, put down that harpoon.
Ahoy, the mizzen mast.
I quit. I can't go on the air with a thing like this.
What's wrong with it?
Why, even Fred Allen wouldn't use a sketch like this. And he'll use anything.
But dang.
By the time you agency guys and the broadcasting company get through cutting out a comedian's jokes, he isn't funny.
Exactly. And as the president of Betten, Bitten, Ditto, and Button, let me tell you, Dank, we cut out your stuff purposely. Radio is a big business. Radio comedians and radio itself must have one thing in common.
What's that?
They are not to be laughed at. Dank, you're fired. Just a nightcap word from Larry Elliott.
The next few moments are devoted to the entire petroleum industry by the Texas Company. One of the greatest examples of free enterprise has been the growth of individual businesses in the petroleum industry. In 1920, there were about 15,000 service stations. In 1939, the number of independently owned and operated service stations had grown to over 200,000, each a local business, all providing employment and income for others in every community in the real American way.
Thank you, Larry, and thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for letting the Texaco Star Theater service your radio for this hour tonight. We'll be back to render the same service next Wednesday at Texaco time. This is Fred Allen saying good night for the more than 45,000 Texaco dealers from coast to coast and inviting you to drive in anytime. Remember, you're welcome.
April has been proclaimed Cancer Control Month by President Roosevelt. A healthy nation is a strong nation. Do your part toward building up our health defenses. Enlist now in the nationwide fight against cancer by writing for free information to your local unit or direct to the American Society for the Control of Cancer in New York City. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.